Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I'm so excited that that giggle you hear is Matt Rogers. He's got a new Showtime, a Christmas special out now. You can watch it, stream it. It's festive. It's got music. It's a new holiday classic. Matt, how are you?
I'm so good. So many reasons to giggle, namely seeing you right now.
I'm so
happy
to see
you. Posting my cookies, too. Not for nothing, but first of all, the cookie tastes pretty good. They made a cookie of my face sent it out to people. And actually, those brows are real thick. They're really getting it across.
For the cookie, did you send them a photo or did they just find one online? Like, break down this cookie for me.
So basically, in order to get my face on a cookie, and for everyone out there that's interested in getting their face on a cookie, this is sort of how it works. Like, they send you a couple options, and then, like, it was just so funny because I was like, wow, flashback in time. Like, tell yourself that you're going to have this moment one day where they send you a bunch of pictures of you, and they're like, so which one for the cookie?
We're sending out the PR cookie. Matt, we're going to talk all about the special. I loved it so much, and I want everyone to watch it. Make your plans to watch it. If you haven't watched it already, watch it again. But I do want to break down Potomac because I haven't gotten a chance. I've been sort of off because of the Thanksgiving holiday, and I haven't really gotten to dive too far.
Oh, I notice when you take off. Okay. Can I just say that? Like, whenever you're taking off, I'm like, well, fuck. I'm like, it really sucks for me.
Thank you. Yeah. It's hard. You know, sometimes you need a little breather. I had family in town. And then even when I try to, when I don't take notes, then I'll sort of dip into Potomac. But I feel like we just needed to, you and I, really break down the season, break down this past week's episode.
So much to talk
they're
about.
Still in Miami. Candace finally got there. I know, as of this recording, you're going to be on Watch What Happens Live with Candace after the episode airs, if that makes sense to listeners. But
do we reveal, the Wizard of Oz is like the Sunday episodes are recorded on Wednesday? Were you just going to pretend that that's not a thing?
No, it literally, as I was saying it, I was like, wait, do I pretend? Because it's technically Watch What Happens Live, and sometimes they do it live. But in your case, they filmed it last Wednesday and it's airing.
Andy don't work on Sundays. Right. So if you ever are watching like a Sunday Watch What Happens Live, which I've now done a couple because I've been on with Karen Huger and I've been on with Candace Dillard Bassett, and they record those earlier on Wednesday, I think, usually, and they air Sunday. So I've actually recorded with Candace already or taped with Candace already, filmed with her even, and it was really fun. I love her. And she's going to come see me in D.C.
Are you loving her this season? Because I really fell in love more than ever this season.
Absolutely love her this season. I think she's actually the star of the show. I think she's coming from the most grounded place. I think that we are seeing the most of her life. I think we are seeing her engage with her own life in a real way. And what I love about Candace this season is, you know, I've always loved her candor. I love that she'll just say the thing. And what I loved is she actually turned to me when I was giving my hot takes and she said, say the things. Because she was like very much agreeing with me. And what I love about her is she always says the things. And is she always the most responsible with her language when she says it? No, but she always is real. And she's always coming from a Candace place. And it feels like this season is good because she's still the Candace that we love. I mean, rolling hills of neck. Absolutely. And
her
then at the same
unmatched,
time,
I believe
unmatched across all franchises. And at the same time, like, she's also learned restraint enough to be like, take a deep breath. They're trying to come for your husband and it's not coming from a grounded or real place. They don't even believe it. So just take a deep breath, understand this is the show and move on and just pay these women dust, which is what they deserve to be paid.
And I feel similarly with Wendy, and I know you're a Dr. Wendy fan, and people who don't like Wendy or Candace probably are not going to like this podcast. I'm going to get a lot of complaints, but
they should examine that.
Right. But I think both of them get people coming for them so much, because I do believe that their wordplay is unmatched. Like, I feel like it's hard for the other cast members to really come up against Candace or Wendy, because I feel like in a war of words, those two are going to come out on top, I believe.
Oh, yeah. No, they're a lot better on their feet. And you know what I mean? And like, and you know, like Giselle is good in a confessional, but then like in person, she's sort of just like, it's a little chaotic, actually, and she's never really, like, very quick in person. And Robin, forget it. I mean, you know, it's just, it's not even on the same level. In fact, like, when she is confronted or in a conflict, she actually opts to be very immature. I don't know if you've noticed that, but, like, remember, like, last year when she got in the fight with Wendy, she was, like, pointing to her vagina and being like, oh, fuck me. Like, she was doing that weird, like, juvenile humor. You know, I just
and
think
this season too. This season with the filming of Wendy and Mia's yes. fight, and then this week on the show with the bringing out the fucking Amazon Alexa or whatever.
Yeah, women in tech over here.
Yeah, I'm like, this is weird. It's like
it's weird. It's bullying. Weird. It's juvenile. And if anyone has another word for bully than what they're being, I would love to hear what it is, because the way that they act when like someone they don't like rolls up to a dinner party or a table, like the lack of eye contact, the little shrug shoulders, the like, you know, whispered things, they're bullies. And it's a terrible look. There is nothing worse to be as a human being than a bully. And they, in the last episode, I thought succeeded in bullying her and like being so microaggressive to Wendy that they actually broke her down fully. I mean, think what it must have been like to be Wendy on that trip in the opening days of that trip, to the point where they actually made Wendy act fully crazy. And I think a lot of the reason why she's not around is because she's embarrassed.
It's also fucked up because like we're on a cast trip. We do know that this is a television show, and they made Wendy obviously went and decided to go stay at a hotel. But then when we're having dinners and stuff like that, you just have to have her there. Like this is a cast trip and we're doing a cast show. So then to just also ostracize her for the events, it's just like, it's a little gross.
And yeah. You also see Wendy like trying to do the show, which is conflict and resolution. She had an event for it, the burn session. She's come to the events that she hasn't hosted. She's played ball with Mia on this insane flop Miami trip. Mia is so thirsty and desperate, and the trip is so chaotic and bad. But like, it seems like Giselle and Robin, like, you know, think who they are and think they're like the A-list of the show and are just going to ice her out of being on the cast of this. And it's just A, not fun, and B, bullying. And if you can't see that for being what it is, then you're not watching with open eyes.
I love that I can't hear the word bullying without thinking of Kelly Bensimone saying that she was systematically bullied in New York. Do you remember this?
Maybe she was, though. You know what I mean? Like, maybe with fresh eyes, we would see that she was. I mean, she was a complete lunatic.
I just remember she kept saying, like, I was systematically bullied, or this is
well, Bethany
bullying.
Is the biggest bully in entire franchise. Yeah, she's the biggest bully in Hollywood. I actually don't find Lisa Rinna to be really a bully. I think that's kind of just something that Kathy said. But then again, I don't know what it's like to be on trips with her and Erica together. And you notice, like, these people get emboldened when they're in pairs of two.
Wait, Matt, go back to the Bethany of it all, because I just have to hear your thoughts now.
I'm not a Bethany fan. I really never have been. I think that she thinks she's so much better than the show. I think that superiority is such an ugly quality. And to hear her talk for years about how, you know, like that franchise, like kind of like rested, lived and died on her when she's like in and out of it. Now she has the Housewives Recap podcast. It's like, you know, at what point, when are you going to like tire yourself out with this?
And it pisses me off on behalf of Andy. Like that's where, the producers of these shows, where it's like, because we've seen her, anyone who's even loosely followed any of her projects or her social media or anything, we've seen her say such negative things about the Housewives since leaving.
Yeah.
Which A, to me is weird, because it's like you're insulting the fan base you have loves this show. And so I feel like you're just insulting the fan base that you have. And even with the book, do you remember they did the Housewives oral history book? Dave Quinn did it. And she's one of the few people left out of the book. And she tweeted some really negative things about the book, saying like, oh, now, I mean, people can go look up the tweet, but it's like, and then now capitalizing off it when it's convenient. It just is kind of frustrating.
I would describe Bethany as very smart, but I would not describe her as emotionally intelligent. I think that she is maybe one of the cruelest people to appear on these shows. I mean, if you go back and look at the Luann of it all with the reveal of the Tom situation, and just to hear Luann with hindsight talk about that, like, you know, I don't think it's a good atmosphere in Bethany land. And I think that, you know, it, again, if you're watching with open eyes, you can see she doesn't seem very happy. It's like very toxic vibes when you endeavor into her social media, which I don't recommend doing, because I think that everyone should practice self-care, especially during the time of the holidays. But I just
the time
think
to put on the Grinch or your holiday special.
Not the time to stream Matt Rogers' Have You Heard of Christmas? You know what I mean? It's not the time to be going to Bethany's TikTok. You know, like, it's such a dangerous, scary world. Like, why make it's already such a scary world, Danny? You know, there's so many dark things in the world. Why would you follow Bethany on social media? Like, why?
Oh, we're gonna get so many complaints, because anytime anything, even Luann was on my show, and
oh my god, she like really, so many dummies.
Luann like really let loose on Bethany on my show, which was completely unexpected. It was like so unexpected to me. And when a moment like that happens, it's just like, it's exciting, as you know, because you interview people, it's like exciting.
Yeah, no, I love it. No, I will always be real as fuck about the Housewives. And also, I said to my friends that I brought to my Watch What Happens Live taping upcoming, like, I go in on Robin Dixon, like, spoiler alert, but I do an I Don't Think So Honey on Robin Dixon at the end, her family fun day, aka family flop day, which had like three potato sacks so and a sad tin of flank steak. It was so terrible. And I looked up actually how much it would be to rent a bouncy house or something. And I was like, look, I know Robin money's tight sometimes, but it's $375 for the day. I know you can have your Bravo check cover that. And I said to my friends afterwards, I was like, did I go too hard? And apparently my friend Dave was in the bathroom with some gays that were in the audience. And they were saying that, like, while they were peeing, they were talking about how, like, wow, like, you have to respect Matt. Like, he really went in. He read those girls more than they read each other. Like, it's like, oh no. Like, yeah. I hope I didn't come off like a total asshole, but.
And I think that's what, obviously, also one of the things that make Housewives fans so fun is that we change too. Like, next season, you might feel differently about Robin, but you're not.
Maybe.
Going to.
I mean, she'd have to. Look, all I ever wanted was for Robin to roll out of bed and drink a cold brew. And now that she has, I still don't like her.
Yeah. I don't care.
I just find her to be spineless.
Yeah. I sort of didn't mind her. And then this season, I just like, I don't know. I don't know. What do you make of the Mia of it all? Because Mia doesn't have any.
What do I make of the Mia of it all?
She has like no motivation for anything she does or says. It's weird.
It's to try to be on television. Yeah. That's what I think it is. I think Robin and Giselle have finally found someone that's desperate enough and thirsty enough to sort of do what they can't do, because they know she's not going to last on the show. She's going to peter herself out. She's going to tucker herself out doing all this stuff. Like, you know, pun not intended, but yeah. That's why you're the king, Danny. That's why you're the king. That's why no one can step to you, Danny Pellegrino. And like, you know I'm telling the truth. But yeah, no, she's going to exhaust her time here. So Giselle and Robin are sort of just sitting back with their phones out pointed at Wendy. You know what I mean? While Mia like acts a complete fool and flop. So what do I make of the Mia of it all? I'm shocked that she's still there. That's what I make of it. But then again, Giselle's kind of a producer. So not really. That's shocked.
And I think they tried to give Mia her friend this season, but like that didn't work out. Cause I think bringing Mia back this year, they were like, well, I don't think anyone on the cast really actually, I don't even think Robin and Giselle like Mia. It's like very clear if you read between the lines, like they don't like her.
They don't like anyone.
So they were like, okay, if we're going to bring Mia back, she has to have some sort of ally. And so they brought this woman who just is like a weird, I don't know. They both are weird.
I'm controversial about her, though. I actually don't dislike Jacqueline, because if you watch Jacqueline, you can see her the entire time. She's so embarrassed that she's on this show as Mia's friend. It's because Mia is so, and this is the thing about Mia, though. A lot of times I am laughing, and maybe I'm a hypocrite, because I always say, like, all I really want is to laugh while these women are on screen. And I do laugh at, I was a restaurant at a high-end place where they serve steak and lobster, and then the cut to, yes, I was a stripper. You know what I mean? Like, there are elements of Mia that do make me laugh, because I find her to be so chaotic and such a flop. But then when it becomes like a tool for Robin and Giselle, I am only embarrassed and angry about that. And I think Jacqueline is the same. And if I'm to believe like what I'm told, like they fall out before the end of the season.
It looks so like they do. Yeah. It looks
are
like
we going to be standing Jacqueline?
Maybe. It's too early to say. We still got to have a season left. But I think the Wendy Mia situation was just so hard to watch that nobody. I found nobody sticking up for Wendy. I felt like it was so clear of who was in the wrong. And then to see everybody. Bullies. And then that makes me think they definitely need someone for Wendy next season, because it feels also like Wendy's on a little island by herself. And so it's like they need to bring someone in for her if we're going to keep Wendy around, because I want Wendy around.
I want Wendy around too. I mean, one of my favorite scenes of the whole Miami trip was Candace and Wendy recording with Trina. First of all, like, kudos to Candace. Like, she really is making it happen with her music. You know what I mean? Like, Drive Back, that really is a good song. New song is a cool song. And
Matt, give me a little Drive Trina Back. On it. Give me a little Drive Back.
Must really think I'm playing. Reverse the conversation. Trust me, that's not what you want. There's a little riff for you.
Oh, we need to get Candace.
I don't do back and forth.
We need to get Candace to hire Matt Rogers. On the
layout. I love the song.
We need to get a duet.
Well, you know what? I was sitting next to her during the commercial break and they were playing Drive Back and I was sort of to myself singing a little bit. And she wasn't giving me anything there. But then when they played a clip from my special, they play me singing the song Also It's Christmas from my special. And she turns to me and she goes, okay. And then she heard me go into like my like, she heard like the, I don't know, the part of my voice that's like more singing verses, like a more of a like soft part of my voice. And she literally leaned forward to her chair and goes, yes. And I was like, okay, I'm getting Candace's sign off. I love
you, Candace and Trina doing a thing next season is all.
But
I
that
want.
Was my favorite scene of like the whole trip, because that was genuine friendship. Wendy was there for her friend and Candace was having a big moment, and then they left and they were so fun leaving, and it just felt like it lifted the vibe of the trip. But because they're not on the trip with Real Housewives of Potomac, they're on the trip with producers of a reality show, which are Robin and Giselle, who I just don't find that interesting.
For the first handful of years, too, I don't think the other women caught on as much about the way Robin and Giselle were, whereas now I think Ashley, Candace, Karen, they all see Robin and Giselle for...
They know.
They know that they're not going to be able to develop a very close relationship with the two of them. And I think it's just awkward.
I don't know. How do you feel about Ashley and Candace of it all?
I want them to be friends, but then I also like when they fight.
I like when they fight too, but the thing is they're not fighting about real stuff. They're fighting about like Ashley bringing stupid bullshit from outside of the show in, like, because Ashley, you can tell, is sitting there like trying to make something happen.
I think Ashley's just entertaining herself, whereas Robin and Giselle, I feel like, are doing it to entertain the audience. Ashley is just stirring the pot to spice up things for her own scenes.
Well, Candace she says on Watch What Happens Live, like, again, I don't want to give away too much, but she says, like, she cops to the fact that she has a lot of fun with Ashley.
Yeah.
And Candace even's like, she threw up her hand and was like, I want to be friends with her. We have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. This will air after Watch What Happens Live, so we'll be good.
Oh, good.
But
everyone knows that already.
I think they should be friends. I think that's what I like most on Housewives, is when the allegiances are changing. I'm worried about Karen. The Grand Dame is my favorite. I love Karen Huger.
Me too.
I just worship the woman, and I don't like when people come for her, even if it's warranted at times. She's one of the few where I feel, and I don't think this is a good trait to have as a fan of these shows, to have like a loyalty, a severe blind loyalty to one of these women. But I feel that with Karen Huger. And so it does bother me when other people come for her and Ray. I do not like it.
I just think it's boring. Like, I think they're obviously not cheating on each other. And I also think, if they had a situation where they were seeing other people, obviously that's something that was between them and like
they're
in the past,
that.
Like if that's even true. But you can see in the way that Karen even reacts to that being brought up again, that 60% of it is like, I can't believe you're doing this to me and my husband who are in a good place. And 40% of it is like, really? This again? It's just boring. Like, when these women do that, it's just boring. And look, Candace did say that on camera. And I think she had forgotten that she said it, the thing about Karen stepping out. But also remember this. If Candace has a little bit of a chip on her shoulder regarding Karen, you know, Karen, if she gets criticized for straddling lines a little bit too much and not picking a side, the Monique stuff was a little bit messy when it came to Karen and Candace. Like, that was, maybe Karen should have, you know,
I also think the Candace and Chris situation earlier this season, where I feel like Karen probably could have stuck up more. I don't know.
Karen does have like a grand dame energy when it comes to stuff like that, where she's like, I don't want to get in the mix of like stuff that's that personal and ugly. Like, she wants to rise above. Like, I don't think she's interested in those types of storylines on the show. I really don't. But, you know, I'm of two minds about it, because yes, I do think that she should, you know, come down a little bit harder when people deserve it. But also, like, you do see her call people out. Like, when Robin made the decision to not invite Wendy to the flop day and said that Candace should bring Wendy's kids over, Karen was like, you're crazy, Robin, like, to her face. So she will stick up.
I just need Robin, if she doesn't like Wendy, then confront her at these events or talk it through, or, like you said, conflict and resolution. But I can't have you just like not inviting someone places. Like, that's not how we're going to have a TV show. So, like, you need to stop it.
Also, can we just for 1 second talk about why they're in conflict in the first place? Which is because they actually were good. And then Robin said to Wendy, you seem loose. You seem not of substance. She made herself conscious about her body on camera in front of everyone. She said a ton of nasty stuff. And then sat there when Giselle brought in this narrative from the blogs off the show that was obviously untrue about Eddie cheating on Wendy. So it was one thing after another, on top of all her hypocrisy about like what other men do in relationships when she has her own storied situation going on. That's why they're in conflict, because Wendy finally stuck up and said, no, I'm not going to accept this anymore. That's why they're in conflict. And now Wendy is actually extending a handout to you, and you're going to be the one to shut it down? No.
I also think that they could get along. We saw this week in the show when they were at the club, it was like Robin and Wendy were hugging, and there is some sort of commonality there. I really think the show would like benefit if we got rid of, or maybe not even got rid of, but like benched Robin or Giselle for a moment. I think it would be better for the show.
It's just not the show, is unfortunately the truth. Yeah. It's like why people that won Kyle off Beverly Hills are never getting that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you just can't have it. Like, it's not a Mickey situation.
Where do you think Charisse is going to the bathroom? Because still this week,
who?
She's staying. Charisse.
Well, what? I don't even know who that is.
Charisse's return is a big flop. It's like a big flop.
I just don't get it. Like, and then like her getting flown in by Robin during that phone call at the burn session, just so she could give the wrong information. It's like, I'm glad you hired your makeup session. It's like, I'm glad you hired your makeup artist just to get you on Instagram Live or whatever the fuck, on like a FaceTime, but save your money.
By the way, I'm not editing that because it's too much work.
Fair.
Okay.
I hope you don't. I hope you don't.
We're going to leave it in now.
Good.
Wait. Any other final thoughts on Potomac before we move on? Any other things you want to get off your chest about Potomac?
I mean, as we head deeper into the season, I would like things to get more fun. I would just like things to get more fun. I really don't like this Chris Bassett allegation. I think it sucks. I mean, I don't think they even believe it. That's my thing, is like, I don't even think Giselle believes this shit.
I think last season they had a bit of a snoozy season. They filmed it during COVID. Like, I didn't think last season was so super dynamic. I loved watching it, but I didn't think anything was, especially compared to the season before when it was,
it's
like,
been a good season. I think, I mean, like, I really enjoyed the premiere,
but I think like they came into this season being like, we need something big, and so they were like, let's do the Chris Bassett thing, and I felt like they rallied about that to maybe spice up the season, and I don't think it worked.
I mean, what do you think of the thread, the like weird thing that opens scenes of the flowers dying? And
it's
that,
too much.
Like,
it's too much.
Like, I'm like, what are they trying to say? Like, are they trying to say this is like a season about like death, like, or like destruction? Like,
at first it was all about new beginnings, and I understood, because wasn't the first party like a spring forward or some shit like that? And but then it's just too much, and they're doing it on all the shows, because they're doing it on Salt Lake City with all the fucking snow and the choir. Like, they're doing too much of all of these transitional things.
I have to say something about Salt Lake. I hate the soundtrack of Salt Lake. I hate the score of Salt Lake. I don't like it. I don't understand. I don't like the world we're living in, like, at sonically. In Salt Lake, I just don't.
Aggressive.
I don't connect with it.
Yeah.
It feels like what you give the 9th franchise. You know what I get? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't connect with it.
Musically. But I think, like, part of why I love Salt Lake is because it is like an ugly stepchild. I think that's part of the appeal of what I like about it. It's a little bit off. It's a little bit janky. They're like the underdogs to me or something. So I root for them. I love them. We have to take a quick break here. We'll be back with much more from Matt Rogers. We're going to talk about The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, plus his holiday special, which is airing now on Showtime. I want to thank Acast. Also want to let you know that we got brand new Everything Iconic merch available at everythingiconic.store. So we got new holiday tees. We got Ladies Am I Right t-shirts, sweatshirts, wine glasses. We restocked on the Queen Icon Legend wine glasses. Plus, you can get signed copies of my book, How Do I Unremember This? Go to everythingiconic.store. Some of the stuff is limited edition. You can get it at everythingiconic.store. Great holiday gifts. We'll be right back. Icons, if you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With the listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic.
I will say this. It's the Lisa Barlow show.
Yeah, I love her. She's great.
It's the Lisa Barlow show. I think Lisa Barlow, when all things are all considered, top 10 housewife. Yeah. And I've said it from the beginning.
Yeah.
I saw her potential.
There was a moment that I feel like it sort of got passed over. Do you remember when they were on that trip to, was it fucking Arizona or something? We were at the bar. Jen had already left. It was just Meredith, Heather Gay, Whitney Wildrose, and Lisa Barlow. And they were sitting at this like Chili's restaurant bar or something.
Yeah.
And they're all talking about Lisa Barlow sucking dick for jazz tickets and all that stuff. And she's just sitting there as they're talking, and they're all fighting about this with each other, with, but not with Lisa, who's sitting right there, and they keep talking about it and saying like, yeah, I didn't say she sucked dick for yes, you did say she sucked dick for jazz tickets and to get Vita Tequila on the store. And she's just sitting there. And she's like, this is really hurting me. It's like one of the funniest things ever.
It's so good. And also, like, that was so Meredith being a lawyer and being like using technicality, because she knew, I think that Meredith knew what Whitney Rose's insinuation she heard when Meredith said the word, I heard she did favors. So now you have Whitney being like, you said she did sexual favors. And Meredith is like, I did not say that. I did not say that. And it's true. She did not say that, but she implied it in terms of literal jargon. And she is, because she knows the law, protected. Because you can't say that she said that. She didn't say that. But it was interpreted that way in a classic game of, what's that thing where you whisper in someone's ear?
Telephone.
Telephone. Thank you so much.
I do feel like I'm systematically bullying Whitney Wild Rose this season, because I just find her and like, you know, so insane listens. This year.
You know what, though? She is plugged in. Like that.
Yeah, she's at least working for the paycheck.
The four, I think the four are here to stay. I really do. I think with Salt Lake, we have like a Potomac situation where we'll see those four remain, and then other people will have to come in and out. Like, I think the Angies are getting promotions next year. I do.
Oh, you think both of them?
I think both of them.
Wow.
They want it bad.
Angie number two really stepped it up this week in a bit of thirst, where she seemed to lose it on Jen Shah, and I like that.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, look,
Dana's too snoozy for me.
Dana is a no, but I can't get Jen off my screen quick enough.
Yeah, I don't think we need Jen. I know a lot of people are worried about Jen going away to prison or wherever.
No.
I think it'll free up the other women and it'll free up everything. And then I think we just get a couple new people in there. I want a Mary Cosby return next season. I think X factor. That
at least in a friend of capacity, just like we need little girl. We need her back. We need it.
We just that's the chaos agent I think we need. But I've said this a million times on the show. I think that if we would have had Mary Cosby this season, it would have been too much chaos, because this season is so crazy, and I feel like Mary would have
been no place for her. She probably would have owned the C story, and like that would have been like its own chaotic thing. But I don't know how she would have figured in to this. Like, we certainly needed a break. But the thing is, like, with Salt Lake, it's like every scene with Jen, it's like, okay, well, we know where this is going. So it's like, and it just gets sadder and sadder. Like the Coach Shaw of it all, like him asking for like his all of his friends to like hold hands across the table, that long scene with the men.
I was like, just eat the mac and cheese
and let me get out of here. Like the barbecue, that was so rough. And I don't want to see a scene with John Barlow and Seth.
No one wants I don't want to see Whitney Wild Rose's husband. I don't want to see any. And I don't understand it, because I think they saw that it's, people like the Jersey one. I don't love when
the men of Jersey, they are not. But I love the men of Jersey.
Oh, so
I
you the like them. Jersey. See, I don't hate it, but I don't love, like when we cut to a scene with them, I do a little sigh, but it's like not the worst thing in the world.
No,
love I feel like they just decided to lean in with all the franchises. I was just watching the Miami is premiering the first four episodes, and I thought it was brilliant. It's so good. It's on Peacock.
It's really good.
Oh yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
I think when this is out, it'll be out. But if not, just know that the first four are like chef's kiss. There's a hot mic thing. There's like, it's good.
Who's popping off? Is it still Alexia's show?
It's Alexia's a star. I mean, she's just a star. But I think this season's going to be all about Lisa and
Hoxie. Oh, I forgot. Oh, my God.
And I didn't realize, like, I sort of just thought we would be lights up. Lisa and the husband are broken up. I thought we would be dealing with the fallout of that after breaking up, but we're actually like seeing it. Like we're seeing they're together at the beginning of the season.
Oh no. Oh, I mean, oh yes.
We watch it dissolve in those hot mic stuff. Jesus. And it's so fucking good. It's so good. And then I think like, I think all of them have really come together. And I think this group now knows each other better. I think the new people who have never been on camera before are more comfortable. The Nicole seems, I didn't like her the first season, but she seems like now she's better on camera and comfortable. And
okay, Julia, because I root for her.
Yeah. And Julia, I think I sort of didn't love her last season, but now I feel like she's more comfortable and she's sharing more personal stuff. And so it's good. But that
I mean, that reunion, the story that Julia told at the reunion was so heartbreaking. And I that was, I think, one of the that and when Chanel talked about her, it's hard for me to even talk about the genital mutilation, I thought were some of the most shocking revelations I had ever heard.
And one of the things that happens, I think, with Julia specifically after that reunion moment, I think it probably encouraged her to come into this new season opening up because she probably saw how much she touched people and all of that stuff. And so this season, it's evident that Julia came in and was like, I'm going to really like lay my shit out there and not good. Be whatever.
Is Martina like in the season a lot?
There's like stuff with,
There's stuff good. With Martina. Oh my God. Martina, my favorite house husband.
And Larsa giving like me comedy. Like
you love to watch. That's what I was going to say. Like Larsa is... Larsa's just funny. Like you need someone to give it levity. You know
she's
what I mean?
Light,
like,
and she's still feuding with people, but she does it in this way that I think I'm obsessed with Larsa now after. But anyway, my point is I think I'm obsessed
it's
with Larsa.
So funny.
But there's one moment where they try to do a guy scene with the guys in Miami.
Oh, forget
really
it.
Quick. And I don't think they're ultimately gonna lean into it, but it got me nervous because I feel like they're doing it on too many of these shows and it's not, we don't cast the men. The men are the husbands of the women who were cast. The women were chemistry tested. They were, you know, we put a lot of effort into casting these women on this show. So the men were not. So I don't need these scenes with individual men hanging out together. It just does not work. The only time it works is Married to Medicine. That's the only opportunity that I want to see the men.
Yeah, I also, it was just so funny because I was watching that episode of Salt Lake when I was home for Thanksgiving and it was that long scene with the men, like at the barbecue or whatever, when Coach Shaw was like breaking down and my dad came in and he was like, he saw me watching this show with all these men and he was like, what are you watching? Like, it was like, he was like, this is not like you. I was like, this is the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. He was like, oh, I thought this show was about a bunch of fun women. And I was like, it is. We've kind of lost the plot in this scene, but he's like, oh, okay. And then he went on to do like some straight man shit in the backyard. But even so the straight
men hook the guys.
Are watching the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and being like, why are there guys on this? Like, right. We don't want it. And neither do the dads.
My parents were here for Thanksgiving and my dad was like, Dan, you got to watch Tulsa King. It's like,
no, I don't know.
You got to watch it. It's like a Sylvester Stallone show by the Yellowstone people. Okay.
Oh, did your parents watch Yellowstone? My parents won't stop talking about Yellowstone.
They haven't watched Yellowstone, but I feel like they're Yellowstone adjacent. And yeah, because sure. My dad, like, you know, he's Italian and like the Sylvester Stallone of it all, like, and it's like a mob guy. So my dad was like, this is the greatest show. And admittedly, they left and I watched the new episode after they left. So it worked on some level. But it's so funny to me to like see, it's just like a wish fulfillment for a man 60 plus because it's this old powerful man. He gets out of jail and like everyone's scared of him. And then he's like sleeping with this woman who's in her 30s or early 40s. And Sylvester Stallone is like a hard 78. Like, I don't know how old he is exactly, but he's a hard 78.
It's his essence is being 78. Yeah.
And the idea of him just like having sex with these young girls and all this stuff. I'm like, this is crazy. It's crazy.
It's insane to think about. It's like when they try to like give you like Jack Nicholson, like with like a 20, like a Amanda Peet. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know about that.
I love Something's Gotta Give. What's your favorite Nancy Meyers?
It's Complicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because it's Meryl. I mean, I think she's so good in it. Like, and I love Steve Martin.
We're getting off track here, but tell me a good Molly Shannon story because I love Molly Shannon. You worked with her and I love that for you, which everyone needs to watch on Showtime.
You want to know what's actually this is what I'll say about Molly Shannon.
Okay.
Every good story I have about her, I can't really say because one of my favorite things about Molly Shannon is she's really a fun gossip. And that for that reason, like I really can't say a lot of my favorite stuff, but like, my favorite thing that Molly Shannon does is when she looks at you and she goes, really? you think that? Oh, Matt. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're so funny. Wait, you think that? Oh, my God. I'm going
to like trying to bait you into opening up more. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I like that.
And then what? There was a moment where one time we really like said the tea to each other and she looks at me and she goes, I'm going to take my mic off. And she like ran over like Molly Shannon and took off her mic. And then we like got into it. But I love Molly Shannon. And she also does great voice memos. In fact, like I'm doing like a recurring role, not a recurring role. I'm doing a guest role on a Netflix season. Oh my God. Listen to me.
Take that back.
I'm doing a guest role on this Netflix show called Glamorous next season. And the makeup artist, I guess, worked with Molly Shannon. She played like a child killer on Hannibal years ago, like on the show Hannibal. And the episode was so upsetting. And Molly's performance as a child killer was so good that it never aired. And I voice memoed Molly and I was like, oh my God, I'm with this makeup artist. And she said that she worked with you on an episode of Hannibal where you played like a lady killer of children. And Molly sent me a voice memo back and she was like, oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I played like a lady killer. She drove a van. It was so funny. I love Molly so much. This is like why we need a second season, is I just need more of Molly in my life. Like, and all I wanted all season was for my character Darcy to have more scenes with Molly. We had like two or three, but we don't have like a plot line together because I'm always with Vanessa or Jennifer or Aiden. And then the second season, I think I would be with Jono Wilson a lot. From what I've heard,
Jono's an old groundling buddy of mine.
I know. Yeah. And you know, he's my love interest on the show.
I know. It was so weird to see the two of you kissing. I know. It was so weird.
It was so weird to kiss. I was like, oh my God, what's he going to think? And then we made out a lot.
Yeah. And he was dating like my best friend. I've known him forever. But so to see him like kissing you, a guy, was so, I was like, but this is so weird.
I know.
He's so, yeah. And he's so talented and funny with his impressions. Talented. Are so, so good. Jennifer Lewis. I mean, come on. But we need everyone to watch the show. I love that for you, because I need a second season, because I just thought it was so good.
And honestly, what you can do is you can get Showtime and you can watch my special Have You Heard of Christmas and then stream I Love That For You.
That's what I was just gonna say. Okay, Matt, tell everyone about the special.
So basically, it's called Have You Heard of Christmas, and if you haven't heard of Christmas, it's a huge holiday. It's one of the biggest holidays of the year. It's like it gets a whole month really to itself. In fact, it even gets like 2 months, because some people start Christmas even after like Halloween.
Or some so, even before that, Matt.
Exactly. And so I basically want to become part of Christmas culture. You know how Mariah Carey is the queen of Christmas? This is a documentation. Love that shirt. He's wearing a Mariah vintage Christmas shirt, everybody. I just noticed it. I've been so focused on our conversation. And thank you for posting about the show.
Of course. Yeah. Well, it's so good, Matt. I mean, it's so funny. I got a chance to see it and it's just so fucking funny. It's joyous. It's, I don't know. I just thought it was so wonderful. And I'm a huge, a Christmas junkie myself. And so I feel like I love all types of Christmas specials, the obscure, the unhinged, the funny. Yeah. And this was so different. I felt like it was so unique, so funny and so warm, but also being like bitingly inappropriate. And I don't know. I just thought it was great. Well,
what I like about it is like, it's my debut comedy special, and yes, it is for Christmas, and yes, it is music. It's like an original comedy Christmas music album. But in that way, I do feel like it actually is a very good distillation of who I am as a comedian and as a performer. Like, I know that it's a lot of things before it's like a straightforward comedy special, but that makes sense for me, I think. And I think that, you know, I point to it and I'm like, yes, that is me in an hour of comedy for sure. Yeah. And I wrote all the songs with the most brilliant person I know, who's Henry Kapersky, who's my real life ex-boyfriend. And he's accompanying me on stage. He's my musical director. He's amazing.
Wait, did I see you and Drew Barrymore say that you have a new guy in your life?
Yes.
Are you going to tell me about him? Can you tell me about him? Or us about
say
him?
That, I can say that it happened and is happening very quickly. All parties are very excited, enthusiastic, and I did not see it coming.
How did you meet?
Through a friend.
Okay. I had to get a little scoop.
I'll give you a scoop off air.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. There's something else I want to talk to you about out there too. Anyway,
how many times do you have someone on and you're like, oh my god, this is so incredible, and then it stops and you're like, all right, bye. Like, is that ever?
It's always the awkward. Yeah, it's always, especially on Zoom, it's that awkward, like, because you say goodbye or you wrap it up and then you have to hit end and stop recording, and it's like an awkward little moment.
Because I of course listen to your podcast, but whenever there's a video of an interview, I actually always watch the YouTubes because I like to watch the interviews. Well, I of course watch them on 1.5 speed. I mean, you have to, but because I have a lot of content to consume. But I always like think to myself, like, because we're essentially watching a Zoom, I'm like, oh, I wonder what happened the second that ended. Like, was the person like, all right, bye? Like, did they turn all the way off? Was the media training popping?
I think on the videos you could see too of like what PR asked me to cut out, because there it cuts. Whereas on audio, you can't really always hear it, right? Like you, it kind of smoothly goes. So then on the videos, it's like just it'll be a random cut.
It's so funny. It also, it's like with the PR asking things to be cut of it all, like, I don't think a single one of like my publicists like watches The Housewives at all. So I could say something dark and disturbed about one of these housewives, and they would just, it would go over their heads and it would just be on the podcast. Right, and I know you wouldn't cut it, you messy little bitch. We're not cutting
anything. I mean, I try not to, I don't want to have to cut anything, but you know, I understand.
You don't want to do the work. You've established that.
But usually, exactly. Usually it's the housewives are always way tougher about that stuff. Like the big celebrities don't usually have me cutting anything.
No, it's, but the always like listening.
It's always like the housewives who, they're a nightmare. Okay. So this special, I do have a lightning round of holiday questions for you.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be lightning round, but favorite non All I Want for Christmas Is You Mariah Carey Christmas song. You can't choose.
Oh, Santa. Santa's gonna come and make your mind this Christmas with Ariana Grande and Jennifer Hudson.
So you prefer the new one? Okay.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Do you like my favorite Mariah holiday song that's not All Around for Christmas is I Miss You Most at Christmas Time. I love a holiday ballad.
Yeah, me too.
So stunningly beautiful.
Me too. In fact, like a few of the songs in my show are ballads, and all my favorite songs that I sing are ballads.
It's so I love that about you. I mean, I love that you have the upbeat stuff, but you also have, I love a holiday ballad. I think it's,
yeah, those are my favorite songs in the show for sure.
Home Alone 1 or 2?
Two, Lost in New York. I feel like the kills, quote unquote, were more inventive. And
I thought you were going to say,
I really
lady.
Like the pigeon woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like her. She was giving, and you know, she's an Oscar winner.
Yeah. I mean, we're gay. We like a female lead. So it was like they got rid of the shovel guy and they were like, we need a pigeon woman covered in bird shit.
I couldn't have cared less about the shovel guy. I really couldn't. And I also think it's funnier that they lost him a second time. It's giving sequel in the best way. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, we're back and we're worse.
I bet if you asked every gay person, we need to do some sort of gay poll, but I bet if you ask every gay person of our generation, they would say part two because of the pigeon woman. And I don't think any of us have any connection to the shovel man. But with like the pigeon woman, I feel like we have a deep connection with that woman.
Absolutely. We're all pigeons for her.
Right. I had I think it was a chiropractor or something who used to, you know how you get like text messages, but she always used to send me
wait, what? You know how you get your text messages from your chiropractor? I don't know if we're as you seem to be, boo.
No, I had a chiropractor who would text me, it's been 3 months or something, you know, like I would get solicitor text.
You must have a shit back. Is your back fucked?
No, I mean, look at my hunch. I'm tall, I hunch. But she used to send me this every holiday, like a picture of the bird lady. And it was like, but it wasn't a still from the movie.
Your girl.
It wasn't a still from the movie. It was like a canvas art drawing of the bird woman. And it's like, Merry Christmas. I got to look through my text and find it. I got
to
look through my text.
Yeah, send it to me.
Okay. Christmas with the Cranks or Santa Claus? Tim Allen.
Santa Claus. And my favorite thing about the Santa Claus is that it seems like it has infected the minds of a lot of people who think that that's actually how you spell Santa Claus. Because like, that's you. That's you. You spell it with an E.
And to bring it all around for a second, I did some sort of like social media thing where I was like making memes for someone. It must have been Bravo or something, because I was making Salt Lake City memes and I was using this clip of Mary Cosby and I wrote like Mrs. Claus coming to deliver presents and I put the E on there and no one caught it. It said that in the caption.
I think I probably did at the time and I followed you away in my brain as like one of those flops who thinks it's dumb with an E at the end.
I know. And people commented.
And here you are saying Whitney Wild Rose is dumb. Meanwhile, you can't even spell Santa Claus. Mess.
Okay. Best Kelly Clarkson Christmas song. I loved you seeing her and doing her show. It was like the best moment of my whole life. And I wasn't even there.
So great. I would say Underneath the Tree, I think, is like one of those songs that like has the potential to become bigger and bigger every year, just like All I Want for Christmas Is You. But there is another one I really like.
She's got a couple ballads on there that are beautiful.
Wrapped in Red is really pretty. Wait, because I want to just make sure that I say exactly what I feel here and not use Please. This opportunity to flop. I just want to look.
Ask another question. As you look, I will just say she's got a song with Chris Stapleton called Glow that is like so good off her new one.
Yes.
So fucking good.
By the way, Santa, Can You Hear Me with Ariana Grande? Again, a total banger. Like, yeah. Really, really good. But then there was Merry Christmas to the One I Used to Know. That's the one.
So that's so like, sad. It's very Carpenters. It's like very Carpenters. You know, I'm technically in the music video for Underneath the Tree because she did it in Vegas on Halloween weekend. She shot her concert special there and that became the music video. And she did it twice. There? Yeah, she did it twice and I had too much vodka soda and I had to leave for one of the, so we don't know exactly if Vegas. I'm in one of them, but one of the times she did the songs, I was like just outside the door. Cause they were like, you can't go in when I was peeing. Anyway, underrated Christmas song. That people don't think about besides Kelly or Mariah. Like, is there another one? I think of like Leona Lewis. What's that song? One More Sleep, it's called. Have you heard this?
I don't know that.
Oh, it's good. Matt, it's good.
I will look it up. But you know what I think? It's definitely a hit, but I feel like people don't mention it as like one of their favorites often enough is Last Christmas by George Michael.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's and good. I loved the I thought you were Hillary gonna say Duff Ash- cover.
Ashley Tisdale.
And of course,
cover?
There's a great. Oh yeah, Ashley Tisdale. Yeah, one of them. And then Carly Rae Jepsen does a good one too.
Yeah. I do not care for, I love Taylor Swift and I know you love Taylor Swift too, but her cover of Last Christmas is not great, but we love her.
I didn't even know there was one. Yeah.
It was like, it was a different era, Taylor. So,
well, we don't talk about Christmas Tree Farm either.
Right. Matt, thank you so much for stepping by. Everyone is going to check out your Showtime special. It's Matt Rogers. Have You Heard of Christmas? Mm-hmm. Check out Las Culturistas, one of the best podcasts around. I keep wanting to ask Bowen on the show, but then I always feel annoying asking people to come on the show. But
no, you should ask him. He would come on. Just ask him, find a time when he's not, you know, when you should ask him the summer, because that's when he's not working at SNL. And that's like, he really should have all the time off he can. I don't want him to be stressed out, but if you want him to be on the show, you should ask him in the summer. He'll definitely,
anything else
he loves you. We had such a fun episode of Lost Cult with you.
I know. And you guys just had Megan Fahey on. I'm obsessed with her from White Lotus. I've always been obsessed with her from The Bold Type. She's great.
She's really good. And we had a really good episode with her. It's true.
Matt, anything you want to plug before I say bid you adieu? Besides,
you should come see me on tour, everybody. When is this going to come out?
Sunday night.
Sunday night? Okay, so tonight I'm in D.C. And I might even be like, right now I'm on Watch What Happens Live. So I'm in two places at once.
You're in on this show. You're in DC.
I'm in three places at once. New York.
Matt, I love you so much. I'm going to text you right now.
Okay, love you too.
Everyone, thank you for listening
yet again.
Thanks for listening. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino. We got merch. Go to everythingiconic.store for merch. Love you all, Matthew. Love you. Bye.